Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, how are you in relationships, about relationships, of relationships, for relationships, in a way that uplifts you and uplifts life, uplifts others? Expand on that. Let's expand on that. And to do that, there's a book called Evolutionary Relationships, Unleashing the Power of Mutual Awakening. And to help us understand all this in a much better way is the author of Evolutionary Relationships, Patricia Albert. Patricia, welcome to Energy Stew.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me, Peter.
This is such an exciting topic, and you've been obviously drawn to evolutionary nature for a long time and using relationships as a way to get there. And you even experienced that earlier in your life in a way that I think attracted you to keep on exploring and exploring. Can you talk about what your excitement is about bringing this topic to us?
Yeah. It's a little bit different. I mean, I started over 40 years ago as a transformational and spiritual teacher. So the thing that's the most compelling to me forever has to be being on the edge of where consciousness is going. So being on the edge of like where evolution's moving, where consciousness is moving has always been what is sort of most compelling. You know, I ended up at Woodstock when I was 15, and it wasn't for the music. You know, I didn't know why I was there. I just had to be there.
Right.
Kind of thing. So for me, what happened, 30 years ago with what I would call a twin soul, you know, I met a man who was very meditative and a beautiful German mystic. When we fell in love and we came together, he was that kind of guy too. Like he was always like wanting to push the edges of where love could go, where consciousness could go. And so that's what met, you know, where we met was in this kind of intensity and love for each other and love for the divine and for what was possible in a kind of insane way that most people aren't interested in. And when that came together with a kind of explosion, we had 4 years of entering into what I now know as a dual awakening. So rather than somebody who, you know, like you were talking about Andrew Cohen or other people have gone for individual enlightenment. You know, they've gone to meditate, they've gone to be awakened individually. And that's, you know, we understand that. This is something that happened where we were becoming awakened by how we were being with each other and how something was relating to that.
So I think the experience shows you that we all needed to wake up together in a way. So you saw this opportunity that you now want to explore and expand and teach about.
Well, it's interesting. When it happened, it was so compelling and inescapable and profound and the depth of beauty. He died in the end. And, you know, so I was just recovering, really, from the pain of the loss, but also kind of being in this awakening with him. And then all of a sudden, he wasn't there.
Right.
And not knowing how to function. So I kept teaching. You know, I was a transformational teacher. I worked with people with their spiritual, you know, process. So I did that for many years, kind of always going, what the hell? I mean, why was I would never have missed it for anything, but it was really brutal, actually, to try to like recover and be in the world without that shared experience that we were in. You know, I was like not alone.
Now you're teaching that shared experience.
Well, yeah, what happened was 10 years ago, what I realized was I sort of got complete with teaching people individually how to find either personal salvation transformation or enlightenment. Like there's something about the whole individual process that felt finished for me. Uh-huh. And I realized at that time, I sort of waited. And then I realized that the planet with 9/11, with the internet, with 7.5 billion people, like there was something cooking that we were actually ready to move into something that wasn't just about the individual. All of the work that you and I have been involved in for the most part, you know, even relationship work is still about you. It's still about you and the other having it work for you. For the last 40 or 50 years, that has been the main paradigm that we've been in. It's all about the individual. You know, you learn how to do yoga, you learn how to meditate, you learn how to do everything. It's not about something beyond that.
But you are teaching something beyond that, but it's not about the individual.
Right. It's post-personal.
Say it again?
Post-personal.
Post-personal.
It's post-personal. So what happened was about 10 years ago when I thought, I can't do this anymore. You know, there's a million coaches. There's a million people working with people individually. The world will be fine. And I thought, well, where's the next new? Where's the next new edge?
Right.
You know, we've been doing this for 40 years. The water is full. You know, there's a lot of fish in that ocean. And I thought, it's time to crawl up on the land. You know, where do we go next? And I realized that the whole next focus for humanity is going to be on this shared space, the shared consciousness, which was like what Peter and I experienced. Like, it was so potent. It had so much potential in it. It was crazy. And I thought, well, if we could have two people, what if you had 10 people or 100 people that started to hook up like we did, where we were one? I could feel him, think him. What could happen on the planet if you had sort of a collective being that was hooked up that way?
So how do you help people find that?
Well, first you have to know how to enter in. So sitting, meditating separately will never bring you inside that level of connection. Even if you're both enlightened, it doesn't happen. You know, it's kind of like sex. It's like if you have two people sitting separately, there's no baby. There is no baby. So you have to find out how to consciousness-wise enter in together so the baby's born. You know, so something starts to actually turn on. And then how do you hook up with others so that the ego starts, you know, you start dissolving the sense of separation. The ego is separation.
Right.
And when we come together, you start to work on it, not just for me and my life, but you start dissolving it so that we can enter into something in a sustained way together.
How do you know you're dissolving it?
It's because you're together. Because you can feel it. You know, you start to pay attention to the distinction between really being inside together. Like you were talking about 9/11, like where all of a sudden, you know, in New York, nobody honked horns for 3 days. And all of a sudden people were like in. We were like looking around going, we're here together. It felt amazing for a couple of days. Then everybody went back to being separate.
Yeah, it was amazing how we lost it.
Like that. Now, can you imagine, Peter, because you're a New Yorker, right? Can you imagine if it had stayed like that for a year and then it went away? Everyone would have gone crazy trying to figure out how to get it back.
Right.
But we just went to, you know, we just sort of went, oh yeah, whatever, you know, it was a disaster. And everybody went back to being unconscious and separate.
But I feel the timing wasn't right then for it to continue.
Yeah, we couldn't hold it.
And now we're getting to a point of ultimate frustration in the world.
Yeah.
And we need something new, and it's not just to go off and meditate on our own.
Yeah.
And so that's the opportunity that you're offering is tell us how to find it.
Well, the first is the interest. You know, first is to be interested in, to know that the whole axial period, you know, the last 2,000 years has all been about our individual awakening. All religion is based on that. All the practices are based on that. And that's all we know. We're like, well, that's what you do, right? You know, if everybody gets enlightened, then the world will work. And it's like, no.
Right.
So you have to first know that there's a way of practicing. There's a way of beginning to pay attention. And the interesting thing is when we do, you know, there are practices that I teach through the book that it's the consciousness of this unitive consciousness where you feel intimate, you feel like you're inside and close to everything. It's a very different consciousness than non-dual consciousness or ordinary consciousness. It's right. Very different than even meditative consciousness. And when you start to access that, your brain lights up differently, your eyes are open, you can talk, you can move, and you're actually in this flow state that one of the Harvard professors studied adult human development, Dr. Robert Keegan. He points to the highest level of adult development is called self-transforming mind, he calls it, which is basically, instead of being all about me and my goals and my purpose and, you know, my inner sense of self, you literally start to like let go and you start to be in a more interpenetrating, like you start to be more in flow. You start to like be inside the things that are around you. And we're literally teaching that. And he says it's a very low percentage of adults that are even functioning there, but it is our potential.
But I'm trying to look at how to find this in life. Is it like, for instance, when my wife and I drive in through the country and we're mutually experiencing its beauty? Is it that kind of thing or is it something
different?
Okay.
I mean, because you're usually in those states, you might slip into a unified state, but usually she's experiencing her experience of the beauty and you're experiencing yours.
But there are so many times we notice the same things together. That we go, oh, wow, we both got it about that.
Yeah. Well, you guys have a relationship where you've been deepening in a kind of shared consciousness, you know, from what you said. Yeah.
38 years.
Yeah. So you have, and you've been paying attention because you could be 38 years and be pretty separate.
Right. Of course.
Easily.
Yeah, right? Sure.
So when the mutual awakening practice, which is part of the title of the book, is a way of turning towards each other and entering into, instead of I'm sharing with you my subjective experience, like I'm feeling this, I'm feeling that, and you're sharing your feelings, and I'm listening from over here compassionately, which is still separate, we lean in so that we're starting to like attend to what's emerging. Mm-hmm. And your consciousness goes inside mine. You know, that's the practice. People can't always do that perfectly, but you go inside me instead of having worrying about the boundaries. You know, most people are very busy with psychological boundaries.
Yes.
In this, you come inside so that you're with me in the experience that I'm tuning into that's between us. And then I go into you in that way. And then we go into the we, and something starts to light up so that we start to be in that shared consciousness. And as we continue to develop it, we can tell when we're in it, we can tell when we're not.
So is it more... It doesn't feel like it's so much of a mind experience or even a heart experience. It's more like a soul experience. Is that true?
Yeah, it's even, one of the things that I teach when people are, you know, doing virtual classes or, you know, live things, is I talk about the difference between the causal, subtle, and gross level of experience. So the gross level is the body, not gross, but, you know, body, dense. You know, these are my body sensations. This is. Energy is subtle. So the soul is usually more identified on that subtle level. And there are a lot of people that have developed their energy sensitivity. You know, they notice how they're feeling. They notice kind of what's moving. They notice some kinds of intuition, et cetera, right? So there's a sort of subtle sense.
Right.
Causal is what I'm teaching people is how do they go into the invisible opening, where it's still uniquely you and me, but we're actually entering into that causal dimension together, and that's where the unity happens.
And I guess you know,
it's hard to explain.
Experience of that you create. How do you create those experiences for people?
Well, it takes a certain, you know, we don't have a whole lot of time, you know, positioning them, you know, talking them so that they kind of know where to lean. You know, just like meditation, you don't tell people just close your eyes. Mm-hmm. You know, meditation usually doesn't happen if you just say close your eyes. No. You have to kind of give them a way to, you know, to kind of keep finding the alignment with being. So there, I do that. And then you, there's a half an hour practice. That's the initial practice that you do with another. So it's also, you know, like you were saying, like, how do you bring this into life? You also need mutuality. You need two people who are both interested, that are both doing the same thing. I can't do it with you if you're not interested. I can't do it with you by sort of secretly doing it and you're not. There's no mutuality in that. I mean, part of what's missing on the planet, if you look at a lot of what's going on, is no mutuality. No mutual consent, mutual, you know, mutually paying attention, mutual feeling each other is missing.
But how do we get this to expand to the pop, to the greater population?
Well, the first thing is you need, when there really is a different consciousness, you first have to develop it.
Okay.
You need to get, you know, part of my mission is to get the people that are, you know, they don't want to do more work on themselves. It's not like we're perfect, you know, but they don't want to get certified in something. They don't want to do more philosophy. They don't want to think more. They don't want to have more concepts and, you know, quadrants. And I mean, you know, they actually want to experience giving themselves to evolution, to something that needs us to come together. It's like it needs more individual cells to create a larger cellular organism.
Right.
And I guess, the moment, but I just want to say one thing. The moment we do that, the thing that's so cool, because meditation is like very elusive. You have to do it for 20 years. And maybe even then, you know, you don't really get it. This consciousness, in my experience, when you set people up the right way, it's so eager to land on the planet through us that if we're remotely willing, it like, you know, like it like comes in and is not playing hard to get.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important. You know, I mean, that feels important for humans to get rewarded, that if we start to pay attention to each other and to consciousness in the right way, that it actually turns on.
How would you describe the people who come to your workshops? What demographic are they? What might be their backgrounds and genders, etc.?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty much like, you know, as usual, unfortunately, in spiritual stuff, it's probably 60-40 women to men. But we have beautiful men. Age-wise, 22 to 92. I mean, really, we have like all the way.
Good.
And we have a lot of young people. Actually, there are more 30-40s than in normal spiritual things. Normal spiritual things has more baby boomers, generally. You know, because we were the ones who were like working on ourselves. You know, we've been sort of valiant when it comes to all that.
Right.
And so we definitely have baby boomers as well. But I think there's a lot of young people who are going, they've watched the baby boomers do all of this work on themselves and their shadow and they're this, you know, and then they look and they go, well, they're not that enlightened. You know, it's not that impressive.
Right.
No, they're kind of like,
look at the world.
Yeah, and then they look at the world and they go, wait a minute. You know, I don't know if I really want to get into that at that level. But they're curious. But they're also, they know that more is possible. And they want it to be in the world. They want it to be in the flow of each other and the world and the internet. Like, they have a certain consciousness that this consciousness is perfect for.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's also not all about you. Like we, in the group that I do, the Evolutionary Collective, which has about 100 people in it from all over the world, you know, last year, one of the things we worked on was issuelessness.
Wow. What does that mean?
Well, I mean, everybody's usually working on their issues.
Right. No, but I mean, how do you apply that other than just say it?
Well, no, I mean, what happened was because of the level of connectivity, like we have this incredible like nervous system between us that has really been built through the practices and the, you know, and the things that we're paying attention to. I ended up having 2 years ago, two years ago, I found out I had breast cancer. And I'm like, so not your, you know, stoic. You know, I'm a big baby when it comes to having pain or being inconvenienced. You know, I don't like any of that stuff. And I was shocked because the way I was handling it, because I felt like I was part of this larger nervous system with everyone, like I was so, it wasn't just that they loved me and they were supporting me. Like I felt like I was so not alone in it. I ended up having this issueless experience. It was so nothing. I threw up twice. I did chemo, lost my hair, the whole bit. I mean, the hardest part was the losing my hair. But even that wasn't even that big of an issue. Like, it ended up being an issueless experience. So then we were going, so then I started to inquire, like, well, what does it mean to be issueless? Because I was so free. I was so not all about me and making it like a whole thing. And then we started to work together and we realized that there are two kinds of issues. There's ones that, as long as it's all about you, you're always going to make stuff about stuff. Okay. I don't care how long you work on yourself, you will always have some issue that's your sort of pet issue that you work on.
Right, it's the ego and a great sense of self, and you're getting self out of the way.
Right, so you either get a bigger life. You know, you actually, your consciousness moves in a direction where it becomes so uninteresting that you don't make it all about that. And the places where people had real issues, money issues, you know, health issues, things that they weren't paying attention to, that they were dragging through their lives for 30 years, same issue. They took them on. It was kind of like, you know what? Get it handled. You know, like, let's actually deal with this thing for real so that we can be available to something larger in life.
Yeah, I love that.
You know, it was
It's getting ourselves out of the way, and yet doesn't mean you're not handling things.
Right.
You're just not, it's not so much through self as it is the larger context of reality.
So we're moving into this year, we're kind of like issueless is, you know, like we're kind of, you know, that was already, that was kind of dealt with. Because that felt like a big deal when we took it on. You know, it felt like, how do you do that with 100 people? You know, it's kind of outrageous. But it really moved. You know, it doesn't mean people don't have some issues, but it was kind of like 80% of it got done. And now this year, we're focused on the space of miracles. You know, you actually start moving into a different zone where you can feel the speed and the connection and the love and the service and availability. You know, because most of the time, why there's no miracles, why things are, you know, clunky, is because everybody's so self-concerned. Everybody's so busy with themselves. And so there's a lack of generosity. There's a lack of service. There's a lack of attention towards something more. And that is so much what's happening for us that we're going to now, like, you know, see if we can move it, you know, into a much greater possibility.
Well, maybe our survival mechanism keeps us small. And when you get beyond a sense of survival into our universal nature, our infinite nature, so there's an infinite nature to this, right?
Well, there's infinite, but, you know, the last 3,000 years, people have been accessing their infinite nature. It hasn't changed, you know, kind of what's happening on the planet so much. But so with this, this is a little bit different. This is a little bit different in that we're focused on the other, on, you know, literally learning how to not, I mean, the last 40 years, we were called the me generation.
Yeah.
I mean, you and me, we were in that one, you know, like we can, right. We can say I was a part of that. And so the whole thing of focusing and working on yourself and, you know, making it all about you and your yoga and your this and your that, you know, and your past life and your history with your parents. I mean, that has been really important. We have created unbelievable new territory in that. But, you know, time to keep going, because that level of self-concern doesn't free you up and make you truly available for some larger orchestration. And humans, with 7.5 billion people, 2050, we're going to have 10 billion people. The awakening is not about the individual anymore.
Right.
It can't be. You know, an individual, my purpose and my higher purpose and my this and my that. You know, all of that, there's a bunch of us. So you're asking me who's in the group. We have leaders, we have teachers that you know of, you know, we have people that are like, okay, I don't even want to be a part of a group. I don't want to do any more courses. I'm like done. And they come because they want to give who they are to something worthy. And they want to be with other human beings that are worth being with, because they're at least humble and willing to discover where is humanity headed.
And I'm thinking of the word transparency. Recently, Penny Pierce was on the show.
Oh, I love her.
Yeah, yeah. She's wonderful. And so if we're more transparent, then we're transparent through each other.
Absolutely. And it's one of the things that's required, you know, like when I, in the work that I do, you know, the hardest part is really getting the grip of the ego to really love the truth, to be willing to be open, to be willing to be real, to be willing not to, to maneuver and protect yourself, you know, with the lies that we tell ourselves and others. And, you know, there's a kind of, you know, you have to really pull people's, you know, our tendency to not live inside of truly being transparent is tough.
Right, right. And it's the survival. And nowadays, life is more fearful in many ways that we can plug into if we're caught in that more narrow focus. So this is an opportunity to expand.
Right? Yeah. Well, in that book, in Evolutionary Relationships, and people can download it for free if they want. They can buy it on Amazon, of course. But if they want to download the first three chapters, they just have to go to evolutionaryrelationshipsbook.com.
Oh, good.
So evolutionaryrelationshipbook.com. They get the first three chapters, and they can see if they like it. You know, if they like the, you know, where it's headed.
Those are great chapters.
Those are good chapters.
You're giving half the book away.
And we have the bestseller. We got the Amazon bestseller, which is kind of great. Wow. But, you know, at least, you know, people then start to see a different possibility. And when you do that with one other, right, you at least build your little world of transparency, of openness, of, you know, beginning to create a different way of being. We have it with a larger community so that it's easier if everyone's being transparent. You know, being sure. in this world, you know, just like the Me Too thing that's going on with women, we're finally making it safe for women to speak up, but there's probably still going to be a backlash. You know, they speak up and they'll get fired, they won't get hired, you know, things will happen to them. So we still don't have a world that makes the truth rewarded.
Right. You have to have that larger sense that you're teaching about, that you're bringing people to, is to be in evolution.
yeah, and to be together. And you know, the other piece in the book is about the sense of separation that we live in as normal is we're almost always objectifying each other in subtle ways, not just in, you know, like objectifying them sexually, but, you know, we see the other as our stability, as our, you know, our solid friend or whatever it is. And we aren't just here really together in what is unfolding together. We see each other as a something.
So
and
maybe
that leads eventually to grosser levels of objectification. And if we don't change the consciousness on the subtler levels, we're never going to get out of what we're upset about.
So everybody needs to get Evolutionary Relationships and find out how to move yourself beyond that, what you just said.
Of just being in our own bubbles.
Right, exactly.
Because it's not personal. It's just what humans, it's just how it is for humans.
So I'm so glad, Patricia, that you've been on Energy Stew, Patricia Albert. And thank you so much for being a guest on the show.
Thanks, Peter.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. Or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.